Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Today with me is Harvey Abramian, the mortgage doctor. Hi, Harvey.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm just fine, thanks. How was your holiday?
It was great.
Okay,
great.
We just passed through a major holiday at the end of the year, Labor Day. I hope everybody out there who is listening to the show enjoyed their time on the beach or whatever they were doing. And for those of the people who were actually working that day, I'm sorry, but we needed to run the country, so somebody had to go to work. Okay, so today we got a great show lined up for you. Very excited, very informative. We're going to try to take the show in a direction which informs, educates, and also gives you the opportunity to give us a call. And what's that number, Arby?
It's 888-713-2929.
That's right. And our website, www.malibufunding.net. Also, we are on Facebook, as everybody is well aware. Go to Facebook, Home Loans, Malibu Funding, and we'll pop right up. Also, the email address is
info@malibufunding.net.
We are getting inundated on the website and by telephone from the show as well as the advertising we do online. We're very excited about it. We get applications from all over the United States. We are currently in 12 states, and that's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
We are currently broadcasting in several areas of California and Nevada, so we want to welcome our new affiliates around the country. And to those of us at our home station at KDOW, hi, everybody. Give them a shout out and thanks very much. Okay, what do we have today? Give us some news for the day there.
Oh, there's a lot of news, Jeff.
Okay, tell us.
The top one that I caught my eyes, it's from Mortgage Professional America. It's talking about Bank of America.
Okay.
Bank of America basically agreed to pay a $17 billion settlement.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so what did they do? What do these guys do? And by the way, I'm going to spend some time on this particular topic later on in the show, as well as we've got April Lopez and Eric Morgenson coming up later in the show. Just briefly explain to us a little bit of what this settlement is. $17 billion.
This settlement is basically based on shady mortgage-backed securities.
Okay. So what happens, everybody, and everybody knows, is that when banks do loans, there are people called investors. Well, let's say that Malibu Funding does a loan. We're going to sell our loan to, let's say we sell it to Bank of America. Bank of America then rates the loans and sells them to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or Ginnie Mae. Those ratings that the banks place on those loans determine for Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, and Fannie Mae, the exact amount that they sell the bonds for when they package them up and sell them to the secondary market, Wall Street, sovereign funds, like that. So Bank of America got caught overvaluing mortgage-backed securities, and what's the hand slap they got?
$17 billion.
$17 billion.
That's the largest settlement in the history right
now. Okay, $17 billion. You have a history of this, right? I mean, in the last 3-4 months, can you give us a sort of rundown as to what banks have been paying what for, what damages they caused during this whole crisis?
I'm going through the news and I'm seeing Bank of America again. Another settlement for $12 billion.
Okay.
Then we got Wells Fargo. Then we also have Citibank, which is $7 billion. So these three are basically going back and forth, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citibank.
Right. Exactly. Chase Manhattan's in there, too. Let's not forget them.
Of course.
All of the large banks who were doing mortgage-backed securities.
The big fours.
Exactly right. Now, when I get into this later in the show, we'll talk a little bit about the difference between the small guy and the large company. Small guy goes to jail, large company pays a fine. By the way, do you know of all these three companies how much money they were given in TARP?
In TARP, I think it was about 13. I'm not sure. I don't want to guesstimate.
I think Bank of America got $25 billion. I think let me see. Wells Fargo got $25 billion. I don't know about Citibank, but they got a huge number as well.
Citibank got a huge number, as well as they basically gave some of their shares to the government. So
I see. So basically the government took back the shares of the bank for collateral against a loan or a gift.
Otherwise they were saying they're going to go out of business.
Did you see that movie, Too Big to Fail? Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Awesome. Anybody that has not seen it, you got to listen. William Hurt was great as...
But Jeff, you know, there is something in martial arts. They say, bigger you are, harder you fall.
Yeah. Well, did any of these banks fall?
Well, they were about to. or no, they were get, they or get, or they were saying they're going to fail.
Yeah,
they were crying wolf.
My point is, and again, we'll get into it later on in the show, is that look. If you're just a small-time person, you cannot afford to do anything except 100% correctly. Why? Because you end up going to jail. However, large companies, which are publicly owned companies who get bailed out by the government, nowhere in any of these articles you see do you see one person taking the fall.
No, they get a free pass.
They get a free pass, right. Now, money, yeah, $17 billion, whatever. I mean, I can't even count that high.
See, if it was for us, like, you know, for anybody else.
Right.
If they did anything like this, they weren't going to, like, if you play Monopoly, if you pass Go, you collect $200.
Right.
So with them, they pass Go and they collect $200. But if it was anybody else, if they pass Go doing the same thing they're doing, they would have ended up 30 years in jail.
I think it's go directly to jail. I think I've gotten that card many
times.
Yes,
many times.
Many times, exactly. I think
and then you have to throw the dice and get double so you can move forward again. But you know that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Nobody rolls doubles anymore. Not in this. No way. We're still struggling in many parts of the country to find work for people, good work for people. Although in some areas, like up in the Bay Area, San Francisco especially, what we've seen is in the commercial office space booming up there. And therefore, what happens to that is we're saying that the employment up there is very tight as well. So I know in certain areas of the country, housing's tight, employment is good, and the scarcity of office space. But for instance, in another area where we do a lot of business and the show is broadcast down in the Las Vegas, Nevada area, it's not as tight. I mean, the casinos really haven't come back as much as they were. I don't know if you've been reading around the world, but the biggest casino in the world, now, it was on Macau Island. Where is that? That's off the coast of China, right? Huge gambling. They just went bankrupt. I think
they went bankrupt.
Bankrupt. $12 billion to build the thing, and it went bankrupt. I just read it in, I forget exactly where I read it, probably on Yahoo or on MSN or one of these websites that I continually. And by the way, do you read newspapers anymore?
Barely. Like, I do everything on my iPad. It makes it so much easier.
Exactly. Is there anybody out there who still reads a newspaper, who goes to
the... And I tell you why I don't do it. Because when you flip through the pages, you have to go wash your hand because it gets all black.
I hate that. I've always hated that. You know, my parents used to wear these white gloves, right? Going through the Sunday paper, filling out the crossword puzzle with... I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So like you and like anybody under 40 years old, if you're looking for a loan, if you're looking for a real estate deal, I have a client right now in Southern California. He's looking for several different places. And of course, he's a little all over the map. He says, look, I want a place that I can also rent. So I need a guest house. So I said, OK, that's fine. Then the next email was, well, I might not want an email. A guest house. I might just want to live there myself. And then the next email, oh, you know what? I only want to rent it out. I'm not going to live there. So I'm saying, OK, do you have a price in mind? Yeah, somewhere between $700,000. And if I rent it out $1,000,001, I'm like, oh, wow. So anyway, if you're looking for properties, he looks on Zillow, Trujillo, California Moves, Realtor.com, any number of these things. Now, as someone in the business, we have access to the multiple listings all over the state of California, all over the state of Nevada, Arizona, different areas. So we can, as well as the title company, of course, we can we can get in and see what properties are available, how much they're sold for, so that we can get comps for the loans. That's what we have to do in order to make sense, to know right away if we have a loan. But nobody reads the paper. I don't read the paper anymore. You don't read the paper anymore. We all do it online. So when you're searching online and you're linking thing to thing to thing to thing, think of companies that are out there, local companies, not just multinational or national companies, but try to find, for instance, we do a lot of advertising online, and we do it in small cities. We do it in small cities in California, in Nevada, in Florida, in Texas. Now, why do we do that? We just don't say, hey, mortgage, and it pops up on some site that we're, you know, trying to get advertising. We look for a little city in Galveston, or we look down in Pensacola, or we're in Carson City, or someplace up in San Jose. Now, San Jose is a big city, but what I'm saying is Bakersfield, these smaller cities. Those are the areas when you're online and you're searching for something to do with a mortgage or a property, you want local. You want people who specialize in your specific area, who cater to you, who just aren't looking for the blast, who are looking to actually help you. So as I was saying at the beginning of the show, we're getting a lot of response to these type of ads. And I'm getting calls and emails and website hits and views. We're getting a lot of applications from people who say, hey, look, this is a company who cares about where we are and what we're doing. I mean, we're not talking about huge loan amounts. 85,000 mobile home sale in someplace in Arizona. All of this. So what I'm saying is go local. Look us up. We're there to help you. And the news in the day, we didn't even get to all of it, but we will review it a little bit more. Arby, it's great to talk to you. I'll see you down the road in the show.
Oh, yes, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, too. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
888-713-2929 is our toll-free number. Give us a call. We've got a great lineup of show and guests for you today. As you know, always, we try to bring you the up-to-date information about what's happening both locally and in the national front on rates and in the real estate world. We're being broadcast again today up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. We're also heard down in Southern California in the Los Angeles market and out in Las Vegas. I'm very happy today to have April Lopez from Homebridge back with us today. Homebridge is a lender for our brokerage side with Malibu. Hi, April. How are you?
Great, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Thank you. Off air, we were just talking about getting the kids back to school and what that means to families and how difficult that can be. And how draining it might be for those of you out there who are still trying to find a house or still trying to refinance as the kids are going back to school. We were also talking just briefly about the conditions in the market, what's happening and what has happened to maintain rates as low as they've been, as we were all expecting since the taper started, to have the rates go up. In your opinion, and from the bank, Homebridge Bank, what are you guys seeing as rates? Why have they maintained their low attitude? And what do you foresee in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think that we've seen from a bank perspective that the market, you know, there's a ton of buyers out there and the values have kind of, you know, maintained stable, actually a little bit on the rise in some of the, you know, metropolitan areas.
Uh-huh.
And so with these buyers, you know, the sales prices increased. In order to get them qualified, I think that the industry realizes that we got to keep the rates lower. And so in order to get these buyers in these homes and to qualify on the increased values, then I think they've just tried to, you know, as the housing industry, you know, drives our economy, we need to keep these people buying homes, and therefore we need to keep the rates pretty stable and try to get them as low as possible.
Okay, I've gone through a number of changes in the last 18 months with my own business, and you guys have too. We all know, because we're in the business, about the regulatory aspects of what we do, whether it's with the CFPB locally here in California, myself with the BRE, or a number of regulators that you at the bank deal with. Has the regulations, because a couple shows ago, we were talking about an article that we read online that said basically that regulations are keeping applications low because the banks are afraid to lend because it's just an insecure regulatory market. Are you seeing that on your end?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're still pressing heavy on the regulatory items. And then it actually effective yesterday, we had to roll out some more detailed home ownership disclosures to be very specific, you know, to the consumer. So I think that, you know, the lenders take a little bit more frightened approach and try to stay conservative and, you know, really, you know, watching our disclosures and making sure that the consumers are well protected. So I think that, you know, it puts a little hindrance in the lending standpoint because we have all this, all these needs to meet from, you know, the legal standpoint, and we're just trying to make sure that we do so.
Okay, great. And I agree with you. I've seen what Homebridge and other lenders have put out. Suffice it to say that if you're doing in the market for an HECM or a reverse mortgage, you are given counseling, and it's mandatory. You have to do the counseling. In regular loans, a conventional, an ARM, maybe an FHA loan, you now have to have a notice from your lender that there are these services that can counsel you. You don't have to, it's not mandatory, but the lender now has to disclose that there are, I think the number is 10 different companies that you can call about counseling if you need to. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, just, in my mind, it's just another step that you have to get to, and it scares both lenders and brokers not to do the loan, but not to make a mistake and get caught doing something wrong. And I think that's what slowed down the applications. I saw last week applications were up, but you know, I'm not quite sure what it is this week. And maybe that is one of the reasons also that the interest rates have been kept low, because the regulators or whoever keeps the interest rates the way they are, I assume it's a bond market plus the Fed borrowing or the Fed mortgage-backed securities purchase are keeping the rates where they are. So let's move on a second. We were talking products. I wanted to know what specific product. We're talking refis, obviously. Rates are great. So the best thing to do right now is to get on the phone and call us to talk to April about rates that she has at Homebridge. Plus, there was the program we were talking about off air. What was that program? It wasn't a 203K, which is a renovation loan. What's the name of this one?
So Fannie Mae has a renovation program called the Home Style Program. So what Homebridge is going to be releasing on August 29th is our version of the Fannie Mae Home Style Program, just labeled Homebridge's Lifestyle Program. And it's a renovation program through Fannie Mae that is perfect for this type of market, because you do have homeowners out there who might like where they live. They might live in a home, they've been there for 10 plus years, and it needs some fixing up, and they don't want to move. But quite frankly, they want a new kitchen or they want a swimming pool. And this gives the borrower an opportunity for the bank to lend to them on their owner-occupied property up to 95% of the new value once the home is renovated. And so this keeps the buyer in their home, and then allows them to live comfortably in a manner that they would like to live and be able to refinance. And it's like a rate and term refinance loan, but we're actually doing a disbursement to have the work completed for them.
And that disbursement, that would run through an escrow company that would release upon inspections or however the process works?
Yes. So actually, Homebridge has their own concierge department that actually will help with that process. And they're wonderful. They work, you know, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Every single day. And basically, they work with the contractors in the disbursement process. And it's come in great, you know, come in handy. And we also offer the 203K for FHA. So this concierge department handles both the FHA and now the new home style programs for Homebridge.
Well, we've had discussions on the show. A couple of weeks ago, Arby and I were talking, and we were talking specifically about appraisals. And we were talking about how the market doesn't really dictate the appraisals most of the time, especially if you're in an area that may be hardest hit by the recession. I know red line is a bad word and not used often, but certainly they can discount the appraisal by up to 10%. When you're talking this type of loan, how do you get to be where the appraisal is going to come out enough to be able to pay for the repairs? Is it, do you work hand in hand with the borrower? I'm just always confused about how the appraisals work. Is an independent appraisal goes out and says, okay, if you put in a pool, it's going to make your house worth $30,000 more, therefore your house is worth, you know, let's say not $100,000, but now $135,000, and we'll lend 95% of that. Is that how it works?
Well, what they'll do is they'll go out and get contractor bids for the work that they're requesting.
Okay.
And then they basically upload the contractor's bids to the AMC, the appraisal company. And based on the upgrades of the home, then it's the appraiser's job to determine other homes or comparables in that area that have the similar upgrades to determine a value. So there's two ways. We can give you or lend you up to 95% of the future value, if you will, or we'll lend you the current appraised value plus your cost to renovate. So there's two approaches. It just depends on which approach will yield the most money for the client.
Okay, very good. And what's the timing on this? Is it kind of like another refi, or is because of the contractor bidding or because of the process, does it add a couple weeks to the deal?
So the loan itself will close in the same amount of time, in upwards of 30 days. And then usually the escrow, depending upon what they're doing, it can range from anywhere to 3 to 4 weeks to a couple of months, depending upon the extensiveness of the renovation.
And when someone goes for a loan like this, this isn't necessarily somebody wants to fix up their house and sell, or is it? Can you do that too?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. They can fix up their house and all of a sudden decide, hey, you know what, I want to sell it so I can get the most. You know, typically in renovations, we usually don't see that it adds, in my opinion, that much value to maximize, especially coming into the winter months when the values seem to soften a little. Okay. But yes, they can most definitely fix up and turn around and sell.
Okay. Hey, April, thanks very much for coming on. I know we've had April on many times on the show, and we'll have in the future. This summer has been a little difficult just because, you know, we both had kids home and summer vacation, and now that they're all back to school, we're ready to go. So I really appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@MalibuFunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. Get on the phones right now. We're really happy to be with you once again. I know that recently people have been through the holidays, so welcome back. Going to work. Everybody's excited about the fall schedule. Kids are back in school. A whole bunch of things going on. Real estate prices. Where are the real estate prices in your area? As you know, we're up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. And we want to say congratulations to the 49ers on their new stadium. I looked at it the other day. Wow, it looks great, doesn't it? I'm here by myself today, and my producer, Desiree Rosa. We're very happy to have her here as well. And as I said, I'm Jeff Barton, and give me a call. I had some things on my mind right off the top of the show in this particular segment. Okay, there were several different segments of the industry blamed for the mortgage meltdown. And why they called it the mortgage meltdown, as if the mortgage industry was the cause of the entire meltdown, is another story or for another show. However, let's just call it the mortgage meltdown. Most of it was blamed on mortgage brokers. And I was a mortgage broker and am a mortgage broker. Part of my business is a mortgage broker and as a mortgage banker. And some of the things that you get, I guess, you know what happens? You get blamed for something. I don't care whether you're a little kid, whether you're a grown adult, whether you are deserving of it or not. It just chaps you when you think that the full story isn't out there. So let me just, I digress, of course. All right, so the mortgage broker was blamed for the entire mortgage meltdown, okay? That is still going on today. It is still the panacea across the industry as to why we need more regulation of these rogue agents out there making a gazillion dollars. Okay. There are bad people in the industry. There are bad people in banking. There are bad people who lend money. There are bad people who borrow money. All of this is true. So specifics. Let's get into specifics, okay? I pulled this off of a recent download from Yahoo, okay? Arizona man sentenced for role in mortgage fraud scheme. Now, this is the poster child for what was wrong with the industry at the time when this type of stuff was going on. And this guy should have gone to jail, and he did go to jail. So let me just read to you the specifics. A Mr. Jones, was sentenced to 14 months in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and ordered to pay $350,140 in restitution. Mr. Jones pleaded guilty on November, blah, 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 to one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. According to court documents from late 2006 through early 2007, Mr. Jones and others recruited or assisted in recruiting straw buyers to purchase real estate in Arizona. Okay, what is a straw buyer? Specifically, it's someone approaches you because you have great credit score. You have no interest in buying a property. You have no interest in owning a property. But they say to you, let me borrow your credit score and have you on title as a straw, meaning that you're not real. You will just be in name only. We'll get the loan in your name, and then we will purchase the property, and as property goes up or we fix it up, we sell it, and we'll give you a part of the proceeds, but you have no intention to own it. You have no intention to live there. They're just renting, really, your Social Security number and your name. That is illegal. It has always been illegal, and we've never done it here. Most people I know, 99% of people I know in the business, would never do straw purchases. However, there are people that do straw purchases. Okay, so this is a bad practice. When you hear about it, when you see it, you know that it's illegal, and stay very far away from that particular thing. This particular person got caught doing it. The conspiracy is you're recruiting other people to help you do it. Whether he did it once or twice or three times, it's illegal. And yes, he went to jail for it and had to pay $350,000. Is that correct? Yeah, it is correct. It hurt the industry. It hurt what we were doing. And it hurts my particular business because I don't do that. So as a mortgage broker, this particular person who did it had to have escrow, title, lender, and also probably one of the sellers or buyers in the deal, obviously. So it's wrong. Now, on the other side of the ledger, people who were blamed after the mortgage meltdown, and they have paid an enormous amount in restitution, both to cities and states and to individual borrowers by way of lowering their principal or lowering their rate. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about very large banking institutions. Now, on this show, over the past 6 months, I have described in detail Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, all having to pay huge sums of money for what they were doing illegally, either in mortgage fraud or in robo-signings or in illegally not allowing people to refinance or to get a loan modification. So let me just read this part of it, okay? Now, Mr. Jones got caught. He went to jail for 3 years, and he has to pay $350,000. Now, this is coming right off of Mortgage Professional America. It's a website, and you can go to it at mpa.com and read the same article. The guy's name is Ryan Smith, who wrote this on August 20th, 2014. It says, Bank of America has reached a record $17 billion, with a B, dollar settlement with the government over sales of shoddy mortgage-backed securities during the run-up to the financial meltdown. The settlement is the largest with a single corporation in U.S. history. Okay, I don't want to read news, but this particular, okay, what does this mean? They're selling mortgage-backed security. It all sounds very technical, as if there's somehow no one person who might be pinned down to say, hey, you're the guy who did it, and you need to pay. No. This is all sort of, I don't know, it's all business, and we can handle it by a big fine. So what does it mean? The mortgage-backed securities. So I get a mortgage on my house. The bank gives me the mortgage. The mortgage is then sold to one of the larger institutions, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or Ginnie Mae. Those are quasi-government agencies who buy all the loans. 90% of loans in America are bought by these agencies, whether it's an FHA loan, which is an insured loan, or whether it's a VA loan, or whether it's a reverse mortgage, or whether it's just a conventional conforming loan or high balance loan. They're all purchased by these entities. Now, when they are purchased, they are packaged. And when they are packaged by Fannie, Freddie, or Ginny, they are then resold to the equity markets in the term of bonds. All right, so what does this all mean? It means that the mortgages, when they're sold to these government entities, are rated. And who are they rated by? Normally the large institutions that sell them. Bank of America said, these are great mortgages. We're going to sell them to you. And, you know, we just think they're highly rated. Now, obviously, there are rating services out there, whether it's Moody's or whether it's a number of other ones. But when they are, let's say, overvalued, to say the least, is what happened in the run-up. The money was free from the Fed. The money was doled out to people like this Mr. Jones, who couldn't really do it through straw buyers, through no due diligence. He went to jail. But the people that valued the mortgages that then sold them to Freddie and Fannie, They got a fine, $17 billion. I don't read anything in this article that says that one person went to jail. Now, the government lent Bank of America, I believe it was $25 billion when the first bailout happened. And I believe since then they've made an enormous amount of money. The $17 billion is obviously going to be appealed. And the appeal probably, during the long, drawn-out process, won't be paid this $17 billion or whatever it is that they're going to pay, won't be paid for years and years to come. Yet, not one person in this entire article steps up to the plate, or the government doesn't get anybody that says or accuses them of personally being responsible for this $17 billion. And that's just what they agreed upon. I don't know what the damage was. Now, we can quantify this one guy who did this bad thing, and he went to jail and had to pay restitution. But large banking entities do not. Now, I'm like most Americans. Look, fair is fair. Somebody got to go to jail here, and nobody's going to jail, and that's not right. Now, I'm sorry about the rant here, but it just chaps me when I think about the fact that large banking institutions, nobody gets in trouble, whereas the one guy, obviously he should have gotten in trouble and gone to jail. Yes, but there has to be responsibility in this entire mess. I've never heard one person say Alan Greenspan bared responsibility for making funds available through the mortgage meltdown and up to the mortgage meltdown. Anyway, that's my particular rant for today. Please give us a call at 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton, and I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate you giving me a call. Thanks a lot.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, and you are listening to Your Voice in the Mortgage Industry. I'm with Malibu Funding, 888-713-2929. Very excited to have with us today Eric Morganson with Angel Oak Funding. He's been with us before, and we were talking about earlier in the segments about products that are sold through the government or to the government. And Eric works in a different area of the lending business, meaning that he does not sell his products to the government. Why don't you explain a little bit about the topic of what QM being a qualified mortgage sold to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, and then product that is sold and kept by your company or sold on the secondary market to non-governmental agencies?
Certainly, Jeff. Well, first off, thank you for having me here at Malibu Funding. It's an honor to touch into what we do. It's the term is known as non-qualified mortgage loans, but I prefer non-agency. So over 90% of all loans that have been funded over the last 6.5 years are backstopped by we, the taxpayers. And the current administration in Washington has been waiting for private capital to re-enter the mortgage space, so it isn't backstopped by us as taxpayers. And what we offer is really private capital re-entering the mortgage space for the first time in up to 7 years. And that is through a product called non-qualified mortgages or non-agency.
Okay, that's interesting.
What we do with this loan is we're not selling it to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, those government-sponsored entities. It is not insured by FHA or by VA or any other government program. This is just private money that is doing make sense underwriting guidelines that the government kind of misses. So we love the stuff that the government won't do that makes perfect sense. We'll do it. We have private money that's going to fund it, and we're never going to sell these loans. We literally just sit on this loan like a hen sits on an egg.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions, because that's an interesting rates, costs, and qualifications, three areas that the consumer, and they don't care where they're getting the loan, but they want to know that they can get a loan, that it is a fair price, that the rate that they're going to be paying is market rate, and also that, you know, the contingencies, if something goes wrong, that they are protected. Can you go through those three areas a little bit, one at a time?
I can. First off, the cost. The cost is just like any other mortgage. There is a title, there's an escrow, you have an appraisal that is done, you have the modest broker cost that Malibu Funding would charge. So the costs are in line with any other type of mortgage. Nothing changed there. As far as the rate is ranges anywhere from about a 6.49 and goes as high as a 9.99. But you need to take in consideration, we go down to a 500 FICO score. And by the way, that's the middle FICO score of the primary wage earner, not the lower middle FICO score of the borrower co-borrower to qualify for the loan. So the pricing is based on the risk of the potential mortgage loan, if okay. that makes sense.
Well, it sounds like you're going to do more loans than a government entity would do.
Well, that is correct. And unlike government loans can have prepays on them, these loans have zero prepayment penalties. So okay. let's say a borrower had a recent a short sale, a recent foreclosure, or even a bankruptcy 6 months ago. With a loan like this, once that credit event or what we call a housing event has been seasoned for anywhere from 2, 3 to 5 years, then they would refinance, let's say, from this 7% interest rate down to a regular conforming interest rate.
Okay, let me ask you a question. All right, I'm a guy, I have had a bankruptcy, and I had the bankruptcy a year ago. Can we do a loan with you?
You can. There's okay. certain parameters. Some of our programs require up to 2 years bankruptcy seasoning.
Okay.
Non-owner occupied investment properties for our, $2 million plus super jumbo stuff. But we do offer a loan 1 day out of bankruptcy, but there's a caveat to that. That's 1 day out of bankruptcy if the bankruptcy was a Chapter 7 and it included a foreclosure. Now, that might sound silly because you might think, well, that bankruptcy was even, the worst. But that borrower, if you really understand bankruptcy law, is not allowed to file bankruptcy again for the next 7 years. So with that said, where is the risk in that borrower refiling bankruptcy is really not there.
I see.
Another bankruptcy is a Chapter 13. And with a Chapter 13, it's kind of like restructuring. And as long as that borrower, even though the Chapter 13 is yet to be discharged, but they're paying a payment plan as agreed, well, we think that that's a safe borrower, and we're willing to do a loan for them as well.
Okay, these are very intricate and obviously complex areas of law, which we're not lawyers, and I know the products that you sell are selling to people who are in need, but obviously you need a bankruptcy attorney, you need to go through the process that's laid out for you. But this is exciting for people who are in need of this type of product. Now, you were mentioning foreclosures, you were mentioning short sales, things that would show up on somebody's credit and obviously drive their credit down. But on the other hand, most banks are telling these type of borrowers they have to wait 2, maybe 3 years. Do you have programs for these people?
We do. We do not have seasoning on a bankruptcy, on a foreclosure,
okay.
on a short sale, on that. A deed in lieu is another term for somebody just basically handing the deed over and walking from their property. That housing event, we find it very silly that government loans make them wait before they're able to buy another house. We find that to be a bit silly, and there is no waiting period. 1 day out of a foreclosure, 1 day out of a short sale is fine with us.
Oh, okay. So I've got this is great. So I've been foreclosed upon. I'm out. I've walked away from the property in this giving the deed back, deed in lieu of foreclosure, and now I want to buy another house. How much equity do I have to bring into the property? How much money? Do I bring a percentage, 10%, 20%? What is the amount that I have to bring? And then the process, I assume, is the exact same way that you'd be getting a normal loan.
That's a great question, Jeff. The product available through Malibu Funding requires 20% down. So if it's a $300,000 property, where you would be required to put $60,000 down.
Okay.
Now, with that, you can go as low on a FICO scale as or all the way down to a 580 credit score, because usually with a foreclosure, with some, with an event like that, it tends to bring a credit score down.
Yes,
we're
it
okay
does.
20% down on a purchase with a 580 FICO score one day out of foreclosure.
Now, let me ask you a question. I know that certain areas of the country are booming. We're being broadcast, as you well know, up in the Bay Area, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, obviously out in Las Vegas and down in Southern California near Los Angeles. If we're in an area that hasn't quite recovered, how do you figure on the pricing? Is it per area, or is this, you know, universal in any area?
Another great question, Jeff. It is, the pricing is universal in all areas. Where it really makes great sense is, well, listen, you want to buy a house today because it's an appreciating market,
right,
like in the Bay Area. If you wait a year, that same house is going to cost you maybe $80,000 more. You want to get into the property sooner than later. This allows that. Then let's say your credit event has now completely seasoned, and you have the option to always refinance, because again, we are slightly a higher interest rate than a conforming, or let's just even say an FHA loan.
Right.
But we don't require any mortgage insurance or any private mortgage insurance payments on our loans, which is a nice thing.
Okay, so this is a great product for someone who is in what you were calling a recent housing event, foreclosures, deed in lieu, bankruptcy, something that would affect your credit score. And also, if you went a conventional route, a governmental insured or purchased mortgage, if you went that route, there would be problems getting a loan. However, in an ascending market, which we are currently in a majority of major markets around the country, if we're in that ascending market, this would be a great way to get into a property now and within a certain amount of time be able to refinance out of it, but to take advantage of perhaps the ascending market when you've had a recent housing event. Does that sum it up?
That does sum it up. And this product in that market, let's say the Bay Area, is going to be less expensive on most cases than renting.
Right.
Not to mention, you have the mortgage tax deduction.
Okay,
so
Eric.
If you really want to pencil this thing out,
we're up against it, Eric.
Makes perfect financial sense.
Eric, we're up against it. I'm sorry, the clock has hit us right in the head. Really appreciate you coming on board. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, and with me is Arby Abramian for the close and the wrap-up of the show. Arby, good show today.
Great show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I like talking to Eric Morganson, who came in and talked about, again, non-QM products. The second time we've had him on, he's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
great show.
Yeah, as everybody knows, the space for most loans that are sold to Fannie and Freddie are in what they call a qualified mortgage. And he deals with, obviously, non-governmental purchased loans, or that they hold their loans, which is called portfolio. So very, very interesting. And, of course, April came in. What was she talking about again?
She was talking about Homestyle.
Oh, right. The 203K, but it's a Fannie Mae product. And it's based on the future value of your home, getting a loan to fix it up. And it could be luxury items. You maybe want a pool, or you want to, you know, a new playroom, maybe fix it up for just your own purpose.
How about renovating the inside of the house?
Exactly. New kitchen, something like that. Very exciting. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So good show, as I said again today. One thing we didn't get to, which is what I wanted to get to, I just got caught up in that whole Michigas about Bank of America and Wells Fargo and every dollar that they owed us, and nobody went to jail. What else? You had a couple other items in the news for us too.
Actually, government tapering. That was in the news. And just briefly, you want to tell the listeners what that is?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, okay. When the mortgage meltdown happened, and again, I hate that term, but I'm going to use it because it defines an era. When it happened, the government stepped in and obviously bailed out many of the large banks, which are now, of course, as we've just read, repaying that in fines for ripping us off. What? Exactly.
The big four.
But the tapering, what that means is that the Fed, which is the entity, the agency that controls the monetary supply in the United States, they were purchasing $85 billion a month. Now, they were breaking it down into $40 million to mortgage-backed securities and $45 million in the bond market. And what this meant was that the interest rates were artificially being kept low in order to be able to have homes be affordable. And it's interesting, yesterday I just was reading online once again about the impending bubble here in the California market, according to this particular author. And they pointed directly to the tapering and how this was affecting interest rates. Therefore, what was happening is that we were artificially keeping out of the market a certain segment, which, of course, is your FHA buyer, people that can't afford a larger down payment, by saying that by keeping them out, you're pushing the prices higher artificially.
Artificially,
and
yes.
What was happening was is that unless there is a correction or secondary market kicks in and there's an option to government loans, which is why it was interesting also that Eric came in and started to talk about non-governmental loans, because that's the issue here, right? We currently have a marketplace where we've got 60% of our loans being sold to Freddie and Fannie. Now, that didn't include Ginnie, as I was reading yesterday. I imagine we're up
Ginny's
to—
Ginnie's in sideline.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I think it's 75-80% is being sold to the government,
right? That's
right. We need more of a balanced market where it's 50-50. 50 to the government, 50 to the private equity markets. Private equity markets aren't there yet, but the non-QM space and how we're getting into non-standard loans, what they used to call subprime loans, but let's not call them subprime loans because you still have to prove you have income. You still have to prove you pay taxes. You have to have all the other documentation that you need. So the tapering is ending, which leads us to know that pretty soon we are getting back to more of a balanced market.
Correct.
Right?
Private and federal.
That's exactly right. Yep. Well, again, I'm blathering on here. I'm sorry about all that, but enjoyed the show. Enjoyed talking about it. It's a very exciting
very
time
exciting.
In the mortgage industry. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929, and we'll see you next time.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.